You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
Going on, y'all? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Black Is Break, aka The Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. This your man Chris, one half of the brothers Layman. KC's in the building with me.
What's good?
I know we were off last week. Those who listened to the Sports Happy Hour, we had a family vacation.
Yes, sir.
Went to Detroit for a little bit for a family reunion. I see some family and catch up. And then we spent a week in Montreal, which was the bomb.
Yes, it was. Y'all should go.
If you have not been to Montreal, I encourage you to add it to the list of places you should visit.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful city.
Very much so. Y'all definitely need to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
For this episode, we're continuing from last week. With the crew, we started on what that was like the male rape was the discussion.
Yes.
So this conversation continues. We start off, we jump in with discussing Erykah Badu's comments regarding the skirts. About covering your body. This piece, you know, about having conversations with men about these kind of subjects.
Mm-hmm.
That women have evolved. Get into that. Men have to as well.
That's a good one.
And then we kind of get toward the end of raising kids with changing gender roles.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a long conversation. It's good. You guys should enjoy this. With the crew, KC and I, Tash, Shelby, Leisha, Nicole, and E-Color. Hip Hop Digest. Make sure you're checking them boys out.
Yep.
Great conversation, y'all. So, y'all know y'all want to get at us. Leave us some ratings and reviews on iTunes, Stitcher. Let us know what you guys think of the show and the episodes. Chime in. Email kc@blackisonline.com. Facebook, Black Is Magazine. Voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yes.
Website, blackisonline.com. Twitter, @blackisonline. Let us know what you guys think, man. Keep the conversation going.
Before we jump into this episode, I just want to talk to you briefly about our new affiliate. We have a relationship with an awesome bath and body product line called Skin Like Butter. If you are friends with me on Facebook, you probably have seen conversations that have happened on my timeline within the last few weeks, you know, with the murders of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling. I feel like there has been a stir within the community of people wanting to work together more. And one of the ways we are working together more is by supporting more minority owned businesses. And so I, tried this product and decided I needed to share it with people. And it is a sister out of Long Beach, California, and she has over 100 fragrances and a really good high quality body butter, a salt scrub, an argan oil that is the real MVP, and a shea butter body soap. I've tried all of her products, all four of those products at least, and they've all been wonderful, delectable scents and really good quality. So give her a try. Skinlikebutter.com. If you're here on the West Coast, you are in luck because her turnaround time is great. So it's quick. If you're somebody who would normally shop at Body Shop or Bath and Body Works, then you would really like her products. Check out our website. And when you place your order, be sure to use the discount code KC Lehman. I believe it's KC space LEHMAN, maybe all caps. 15% off. And every time I've shopped with her so far, when she sends out her packaging, it always includes a coupon towards your next purchase. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. So check it out. Skinlikebutter.com. Let me know what you think.
There you go. You gotta support other black businesses, man. If you want to make it, support your own.
Yes.
All right, y'all. Let's get into this episode.
But let's, can we address, what was the controversy with Erykah Badu when she was saying the girls in high school, we should make them aware of their sexual energy or...
Erykah's special, bro.
And she got a lot of backlash for that because...
I got what she was coming from.
Because they're like, oh, she's blaming the victim, you know, the girl's clothes shouldn't be. But I honestly kind of felt Erykah on her point. And I think her point... Has she made the point even for a boy? Like, yo, if you're a 16-year-old boy and you're in a classroom and you have your shirt off, and you should be aware that you are a sexual being. Period.
I felt
you
were tired. No, I was with Erykah. I got Erykah about this point because she didn't just say it was all the girls. She was like, yes, and
kids.
She was like, yes, they did. This needs to be. Lengthen the skirts and tell the boys to fucking be aware. But all we heard was, yeah, change the skirts. People were like, oh, why? Because you just...
No, she
was
didn't
being
say
aware.
Change the skirts. She just said, make sure our kids are aware of their sexual energy.
Right.
This country is full of... You know, there's other countries where people go to beaches topless, naked, whatever.
Right, and it's not the same
here,
thing.
It's taboo.
Because we're repressed. But I mean, literally the argument that you're making, like, to me, there's so many parallels with, like, the police and your behavior with police. So, like, to me, like, it's like the meme, like I said, like, how to stop rape, don't rape. Like, that's the only real answer when it comes down to it. Because there's women that are dressed nothing like what you're describing, or don't say no when they're naked and still get raped, you know? And so it's like, it's...
Her point as being a little different. She wasn't talking about rape. She was talking about how a school teacher, a 25-year-old school teacher could be attracted to a 16-year-old girl.
Yes, but so honestly, the 16-year-old girl should not wear such short skirts.
So she was like,
and
just make them aware. Just make them aware of their power. Whereas I could see a 25-year-old
and nobody's
female
saying,
school teacher being attracted to a 16-year-old boy. And I took her comment as the larger, be aware, our children need to be aware of their bodies and their, and that they're sexual beings. And because we are repressed and we are openly having that conversation...
So how did short skirts come into it?
Because I felt like she was putting the onus on the guy.
She's specific.
To me, bringing up short skirts is a very specific point that has been used over and over in victim blaming talk. And you know, that's a trigger. But it's a trigger.
But I think it's a trigger if that's an issue for you. But the bottom line of it is that, like, I have a friend, for example, who works in the Baltimore City school district, right? My age, he's like 46 years old, right? And he's like, look, I have to tell these little girls to get away from me. And I have to say it like that. Get away from me.
I hear
because
him.
Because they look like grown women and he is a grown man. Mm-hmm. So his body is the same thing. 16, 25, 39, what's the difference? And so if we don't tell the girls, well, yeah, maybe that's not the right attire to be walking around with a grown 45-year-old man with all day, rubbing on him and saying, hey, Mr. So-and-so. So I think that the skirt is like an example, but the idea is cover your body. Cover your
body
just a little
which
bit.
Which is why people have a problem. Wait. I mean, that's the whole point.
But I think, too... When I read Badu's point, because I understood the
higher part of his
right, I got the feminist backlash, but I got the higher part of it too. To me, she put the onus on the men in the sense that, girls, you guys have a certain power that you carry and you need to recognize that. And some of the men you're dealing with are very primal. Mm-hmm. So with you just being a mature, sexual, and just aware being, this is something that would be a very simple solution to make it easier on both parties.
Yeah, but now we're asking
such a primal
I'm going to take the feminist standpoint, even though I didn't start off that way. Okay. Now we're asking children to be the responsible ones.
For what? I don't see that part.
But we're asking children to shoulder the mantle of responsibility
There was an article ruling that high school girls lower their skirts so male teachers are not distracted.
Stop right fucking there. Because if we're talking about kids in schools, most of the time they're wearing uniforms. That's not putting the onus on the kids. You ain't making your own fucking uniform. It's telling the manufacturers, make this shit the proper height.
No,
why are kids wearing clothes that are fuck a hem? Make this shit.
I don't have a problem with them because I was like, if that's the daughter of my school.
But this is what I'm saying. No, let me land. The kids are not making their own fucking clothes.
They're
buying clothes.
They might be altering it.
They're altering it. I went to Catholic school.
Yeah, but they
altered our uniform.
I doubt a whole bunch of kids are sitting around altering their own uniform, sitting around making their own fucking clothes.
My friend's mom,
they just buy it fresh off the kid. They buy it. So let's make it so that this shit is all across the board. If you're a size 14, you should be in the size 14 skirt, and it should be at this length, and it should be standard for everybody across the fucking board. Not you wearing a mini skirt to school, not this person wearing this to school, because the clothes ain't the way. The shit should be regulated.
That's fine, but I mean, the way that she's framing it in a way of so that you're not tempting to your male teachers is a little different than saying everyone should wear same size skirt, which I think we all agree with. But I mean, really, this conversation just reminds me so much of like the police conversation, because like, and I think that's why I'm so adamant about not doing anything that even slightly feels victim blaming, because like when people get killed by the police unfairly, like you hear every excuse in the book of why it's the victim's fault, and like when it comes down to it, to me, I'm like, I can't accept any of that because it is the policeman's fault, like flat out, that's who's at fault. But at the same time, in real life, like when I hear people say, oh, well, he should have listened to what the cop said, like it pisses me off. But at the same time, like when I get pulled over by a cop, yes, I listen to the cop because I think that is the safest thing to do. But I still can't accept that as the way things should be. Right. That's all that I'm saying.
We wouldn't jump into a cage with the gorilla either. So we understand that animals have certain tendencies and we accept them.
I expect more of men. That's the difference.
That's the problem. Well, and that's why she tweeted. That's why she tweeted that.
I mean,
Isn't the fact that we don't put that expectation on men as a society the past that boys will be boys? See, now I started this conversation. I started on the other side, but now I'm like, Aren't we giving brothers a pass? Because like, oh, boys will be boys.
Well, it's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? We can't raise everybody's kids. But we can be smart enough to look around at the nature of human beings and what goes on in this world.
But that's what I'm saying.
What she's not acknowledging, but I think is true, is the nature of human beings is there's been plenty of 25 or 30 or 40-year-old teachers who've fallen for young men. And in high school boys. So I think that dynamic goes both ways. And she
Of course it does.
She calls the backlash because we live in a world where people are afraid of the feminine mystique, and men and women are told to tamp down their mystique so that they don't make themselves susceptible to male prey. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where she caught the backlash. But if we take it outside of the culture that we live in, where we're hyper defensive about like, yo, are women getting the short end of this right here? I think her point is still valid.
I mean, but that's why I'm saying, like, if I get pulled over by the cops, I don't have an attitude and do all that stuff because I'm scared that they will kill me. And so I do follow the rules because I know what reality is. But I'm just saying, like, when I speak theoretically about these things, I have to take a very strict, strict stance because I know that that's not the way that it should be. Like, I shouldn't have to be terrified to get pulled over. You know, like, that's not right. I shouldn't have to think, oh, what is what I'm wearing?
Your point is what made me kind of flip.
Yeah. You shouldn't like, have a is what I'm wearing.
Presidential candidate either, and we do.
Well, exactly. Like, I mean, because there's a difference between reality and then what should be.
Right.
And I guess what I'm saying is when you accept reality, then it doesn't change. And in order to change it, we can't accept the way that it is. And right now, what we're talking about is unfortunately the way that it is.
Right. I just. Read the tweet, Shelby.
I mean, I will read the tweet, but I forgot about reading the tweet.
You stopped it from reading the tweet, didn't you?
Yeah, and at the end of that first statement that I read, she said, and I agreed because one way to protect youth is to remind them that we are all sexual in nature, and as they grow and develop, it is natural to attract men. Mm-hmm. It is not them who is doing anything wrong by being beautiful and attractive. Right. But with such imbalance in our society, it is smart to be aware and awake. Men and women both go through cycles of arousal. Men automatically are attracted to women of childbearing age. Mm-hmm. I want my daughters to understand this. I want them to be themselves and wear what they like, yet be aware, not ignore the differences. Now, the only problem that I had with what she was saying is that she didn't call for correction in the male behavior. And I'm not saying that she has a responsibility to do anything. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to call out correction again for women.
Call it out for men, too.
Call it out for men.
Amen to that.
That's all I'm saying.
Tweet.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is controversial what I have to say. I think women, you know, all the way back to the beginning of time, we have a large responsibility on our shoulders. So like men's, their job is protection and establishing of infrastructure, right? Which requires a lot of kind of basic functions, higher order thought processes, planning, and things of that nature, in my opinion, are the responsibility of the women. That's why we're charged with caring for babies and raising civilizations, and that's what we do. And so Erykah Badu knows that. She knows that if you're going to change a nation, a people, you have to talk to their women because they bring life. And even though men are, there's equal responsibilities, they're very different responsibilities. And so if we need to talk about correction, we do not go to a group of men saying, look here, we need to instill some self-confidence into our boys and we need to like really do some more in-depth conversation. We don't do that. You can't, that's not the language that men are inclined to speak. So I think it is the responsibility of women, if we're talking about traditional gender roles, to really understand the power that they have over the entire universe. Not just themselves, when you talk about like the male and female energy, our energy is very powerful. Anyone that can bring life into this world, you know? So that's what it is. It's like, okay, we have to come together and decide how are we going to do this thing? Kind of like Chirac. I don't know if you said. You know, basically, that's what it is.
And I hated that fucking movie. Here's the problem that I have, though, is that in a lot of ways, and I know you're not doing this intentionally, it's that it's feeding this rape culture. Mm-hmm. And that is very, very scary and dangerous. It is the same energy that feeds the reaction that he was talking about, where girls are being accosted on the street, followed, beat up, that it's everything is our responsibility. Men can't handle their emotions. They can't. They need to. Well, and we need to require it of them. We need to raise our sons differently. We need to have the conversation so they're not fucking incapable of having a conversation. Like, you can't, like Leisha said, you can't just sit in what it is now and say, well, that's how they are.
You know what it is? Women have evolved from what I think our initial traditional roles were. Mm-hmm. We have had to, Black women in particular. Brothers have not. Mm-hmm. And that has been the miscommunication that has been happening between us now for a pretty significant time. They have to. We need them to if we're going to survive as a people. We've changed.
And I see change. I give a lot of guys where I'm from credit on Facebook. Like, the posts that I see are so outwardly supportive of, like, you know, just women and even gay, you know, issues. Yeah. I don't see as much homophobia as we're getting older. And so I am proud to see some of the things that I see from people sometimes that I'm really shocked, like, at the positions that they take, just having known them, like, in college, let's say.
For me, two different subjects, though, because I think the people who are commenting with a sense of consciousness on Facebook are not raping little girls. They're not on Facebook sounding conscious. So we have evolved. All of us have evolved.
But they would justify in a lot of ways.
Right, but that's, like, not the problem. That's not really the problem. The contributing factor to decreasing the incidence of rape is better parenting. That's where it starts. When you, like you said, teaching people how to be, teaching women how to interact with men in a healthy manner, and teaching men how to interact with women in a healthy manner. Because when little boys are violent, it's because they have seen that. When they beat women, it's because they have seen it in 90% of the time, right? So if you have someone who is having sex with young girls inappropriately, you know, it's rape or molestation, it is because they were either molested or that's the culture in which they were raised.
Right, and American culture. But we're saying that culture.
But I'm not talking. No, I'm not talking about culture. Yeah, I'm not talking about the larger culture. I'm talking about the family culture. Because
it is the American culture.
Is that too?
I know. That's saying is that we can, like, for example.
But we're saying there could be a normal family culture, but the outside culture completely encourages.
Right.
That
what
behavior
I'm saying too is scientifically, the media does not raise kids. It influences them. But if you have, like, just as distorted as our society is, right? It is very capable for us to have raised very grounded, conscious, successful, compassionate, loving children. All these different variables and factors, but we've raised them in an incubator of sanity. So what I'm saying is, regardless of how the media perceives rape, regardless of the conversations that we're having around this table or on Facebook or on Twitter, what's going to make the distinction between whether a girl is going to be in a vulnerable enough position, and this is not to blame the victim, because sometimes things happen that are completely out of someone's control. But, for example, if a police officer pulls you over, you're going to be respectful because you're a respectful individual. You're not going to be like, fuck you, I wasn't speeding.
I wouldn't do that, but the way Sandra Bland reacted, I could 100% see myself reacting
but the
that
point
way.
Is the
like, that dude was so out of line with her. First of all, he pulled her over when she was moving over for him to get out of the way. If I got pulled over for that, I would be pissed off.
But,
like,
that's not my point.
Pissed.
That's not my point.
I could see myself.
That's a dilemma, though.
I know, but that's my whole point, is that I know reality would tell me, don't be pissed off, you're gonna get yourself killed. And what I'm saying is that if I am pissed off, I'm justified in being pissed off. I don't deserve to be shot by the police.
Right, and that's not what I'm saying. Let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm trying to explain is that how you're inclined to behave is intrinsic in most cases, right? So the choices that you're gonna make, like, I don't know if you guys think back to when we make jokes about, like, when we hear gunshots and we're taking off, we're not even looking behind us, you know, that kind of thing. Well, a lot of times when things happen, your conscience is telling you, well, I shouldn't be in that position, or your parent told you, I shouldn't be in that position. And things happen when you're in positions that you're not supposed to be in. Now, how to prevent certain things from happening, or knowing how to appropriately respond when they do, is how you were trained to be.
But I think that
if we don't talk to people at an early age about what contributing factors contribute to danger and harm, like she was doing, it wasn't her obligation to talk about everybody's perspective. She was just speaking about a small perspective, and I don't think it's neglectful for her to focus on that, because that's one of the major variables.
Yeah, but rape or murder shouldn't be the punishment for not being raised correctly.
In a healthy society, you're right.
And then, so to me, it's like anything that justifies that, I have to argue against, because I'm like, I don't care if you were raised in the gutter. Like, if you want to have an attitude with a cop, like, he shouldn't be able to shoot you.
That's true.
And if you want to wear a short skirt, it doesn't mean that
if you're raised by wolves and think a mini skirt and a bra top is okay to wear to the club, like, I'm sorry you were raised that way, but you don't deserve to be raped. You know what I mean?
So it's like, that,
but it's like, that's what it gets reinforced when you hear people criticizing what the girl had on or criticizing the way the guy got when he got pulled over. Like, to me, that just reinforces, like, we have a certain standard that we have to withhold so that we're not violated in some way, whether it's being raped or being shot. I don't think
she's so far off from what I was saying. And mine isn't just about the skirt, though. It's not just the skirt. The skirt is obviously like, you know,
a metaphor, kind of.
Yeah, it's I think it's in Italy where they have like wear jeans day because that girl got raped when she had on denim and they said she couldn't have been raped because she had on jeans. Like, just all the stupid shit that is said, and it's still always the woman. And there is very little, and I agree with Leisha, there has been an enormous growth spurt in not just the black community, but just in general, with men really discussing everything and doing a much better job of it. So I'm not taking that away from them. But what I will say is that when it comes to this particular topic, it is still very much victim blaming. Very much victim blaming. And it's very much, what does she have on? What does she do? What does she wear? And I understand that, like, you teach your kids, if you touch the hot stove, you'll burn your hand. I get that. Teach your son, if you touch the hot stove, you'll burn. You know what I mean? Like, we just had this whole conversation about the whole mind fuck that happens if a boy gets raped. But where are we?
It happens. Good, you know what I mean? Like, it's just sons that they do.
And good parents have sons that rape, and good parents have daughters that get raped. That is what we have to. You have to accept that. You really, really
exactly.
do. You have to accept that this can happen. And it does. And we really need to, I'm sorry, I'm saying it again, we have to change the way that we talk to each other and the way that we talk to and raise our kids.
Oh, I guess when I thought about Bobby's point, because I get what both you and, I think everybody's point has a point of validity. I understood what she was saying in the sense that, one, I don't expect Erykah Badu to carry everybody's perspective on her show.
Exactly.
I felt like what she was saying was very much in line with who she's always presented herself to be.
I would
sort
agree.
Of this mother-sister figure. So when I do hear her talk, I'm more anticipating her, unless when she's talking about social issues, to me, it's always had a feminine slant. And so I didn't take it as victim blaming. I didn't take it as her putting the responsibility on women more than just talking about us being aware and awake. And part of that has to do with how we parent our children. I think what gets tied into it and where we struggle is we don't acknowledge, and this goes back to the whole woman raping or men getting raped by women, we don't own up to how powerful we are as sexual beings. We don't carry it with a lot of pride. I think women struggle with carrying that in a prideful way, and I think maybe it's because we live in a world that's told us we can be dominated and we should be dominated, and we dumb it down. But we know what,
or your sexuality isn't a source of power.
Or your sensuality
too is like, it's not seen as a source of power, or because men are afraid of women who are aware of their power and sexuality and sensuality, like,
which is why it's going the way it is, because we keep saying we, but I think for this topic it's like we as in male or female, like, you know, like we need to talk, like if men okay it, it's just gonna be. I just feel like that's the way it is. I mean, it's happening in schools, in colleges. I mean, it's happening in sports with Baylor, with football players doing the shit. You have to. That's the problem. Like, you have to prepare the person, but it's like, do you blame? Like, you always gonna blame the shit for going wrong, but there's always gonna think like, is there something I could have done to make the shit better, to maybe not let this happen? We think about that anytime somebody close to us passes away. Oh, is there something I could have done to prevent it? That's just what's going to be. And we're always going to wonder if that's so. When it shit happens, we're like, well, why don't you protect yourself? Why do I have to protect myself from this thing? I shouldn't have to. But it's like, well, yeah, you shouldn't. But you do. So You know, it's that. The but, the, but then, it, and then is, it becomes to.
The real question is what conversation. So while Badu is simultaneously having this conversation with, you know, the among the ladies and with the young ladies, the real question, if we want to like move this thing forward, is what conversation will we be having with the young men at the same time about their responsibility and the power of women and how you cannot, you know, troll them on Twitter and tell them to shut up, and you cannot forcefully, wish rape on them, and you can't forcefully take their sex because, you know, you just had an urge.
Yeah.
Or the idea of power felt like really like fun to you and like, oh, right. Yeah.
Well, even connected high-fiving for scoring the hot girl. Like, it's all connected. It's all connected. It's like it all encourages
any girl or the hot girl.
Any girl.
It happens, right?
This is
encouraging. Like, oh, you're a guy. You should be this horn dog, whatever. Which I get that they are, and I'm not saying that they won't be. I'm just saying that. I guess I'm just saying that, of course, I would always warn my daughters, like, to be safe, be out in pairs at the least, you know, like, take all these precautions, like, of course, 120%. But I, again, like,
don't women high five when they get like the high score, or when they get the person, the head of the football team, like when they get, or the guy who they think is the catch?
Yes. Absolutely.
So, what's the difference?
Look, my point is, we need to be raising both differently.
No,
I just say real quick, this, because I'm sitting here, I'm not really not active in this conversation. I can't lie, because I'm like, damn, what the fuck, yo, for real. This is a difficult conversation, because I have daughters and I have a son, right? Mm-hmm. So, but sitting here as I'm listening, actively listening, I'm like, well, for a minute there, it was just the females talking. The brothers, we didn't have nothing to say. It was, I couldn't find a place. I'm just listening like, damn, if they're doing that amongst themselves, how much more difficult is it for us guys that think sex? You know what I'm saying? Straightforward. Not, I don't think right. rape. I don't think rape. Rape is horrible. Molestation is horrible. I came into this world for molestation, right? It's horrible. But how do we have a real conversation with men and women? Because we could talk about it, us guys. And we know it's wrong, and we could talk about it with other guys, and women could go back and forth about it, but how do we get through this together? Because that's what needs to happen, for real. And I'm telling you, honestly, I'm sitting here like, yo, besides what I'm saying now, I was like, what the fuck? I don't know.
It's kind of like the money after the Million Man March.
What money? There wasn't no money.
So the point is, what you're saying makes sense. It's what we really should be doing. And it probably would solve some problems, but we can't even get people to decide whether Hillary Clinton is a demon or not. Mm. Or something like, you know what I mean? Or like, we have black people voting for Donald Trump. You know, stuff like that. Like, you know, basically it's difficult for us to get on the same page. Everybody's going to do it differently. Just like you were talking about the different styles of parenting. Mm-hmm. And it yields different results. You know? But it means that I guess we need to keep focusing on that so that we can continue to take baby steps. But to answer your question, I think the males getting together to have a conversation that really goes all the way back to understanding helping their son to understand the role in society, helping them to understand and love themselves, developing a great deal of respect for their mother and for females in general. Like, that goes all the way back to, like,
for
two.
Themselves.
That
for themselves.
First. Yes, yes.
No, I don't think, I just, you know, and because men are, you know, part of, you get the benefit of the doubt a lot, and I forgot what I was saying, but I was just thinking. But one other thought I had was just, because I know you have both. I have, you know, like I have a son and a daughter. I'm just like, I know that I'm going to have to raise them differently in certain aspects, but I want to make them feel like, you know, grump, that like the punishments and all that are the same, but it feels like, you know, like when it comes to dating, I don't want to be. You've seen them TV shows where it's like the father's encouraging the son to date early as hell, and the daughter can't date till she's 30. You're right. Like, come on, like, really?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right. And what kind of shit is that? Like, you're fucking up both of their minds. Mm-hmm. You know, right. You're already teaching your son that that's how it's supposed to be. Like,
it's trying to raise,
you know, how do I, you know,
traditional gender roles. And it's very hard in this society to raise children.
Because gender roles are now everything.
Assigning them certain
gender roles, though.
No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with gender roles. I think we live in a time period where they aren't appreciated.
And they're changing.
They're changing, and the traditional ones are underappreciated. That's really what I mean.
It's hard to change, because I mean, you're going to ask, well, how long has it been around? I'm like, you can't expect everything to just flip.
No, that goes back to my whole point of saying women are evolving and men are not, because they don't have to, in the sense of this is.
And we don't know.
There are guys that have evolved for sure. Like,
yeah,
you know,
like the
that.
Conversations that right. we're saying.
Yes, but yes. I think that in general, all that's happened is that women also work now. Like, we've just added work onto women, mm-hmm. but like, as far as the rest of the roles, from what I hear, at yeah. least, and observe with most of my friends that are married, is the women totally still take the brunt of the household.
Yeah, and work impacts how well you can actually do that
yeah.
and do it yourself. If you were in a situation where you are financially supported by the man in your life, and so you're keeping the house, which is a job in and of itself, that by itself, to do it successfully, you need all that time.
I only know two.
Right. The only time you're able, once you add work on there, be it 20, 30, 40 hours, is going to impact the time that you have to do the housekeeping part of the job. And that's been such a large part of our role.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changing.
It's just changing. Guys are finally realizing, like, it has to be 50-50. Like, mm-hmm. you have to help out at home. Mm-hmm. If this is going to work, like, you have to be an involved father and help out, you know, be present and not just the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And that's new.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy. I see it a lot in, like I said, the guys that I'm friends with from college mm-hmm. and high school are all look like really, really good dads. And yeah. it's like,
I know
it's social media, but I'm like, look, if you're posting enough, first of all, a lot of them are married. So at the least, I know that they live with their kids at the very least. I mean, who knows what that is like, but I'm like,
right. I was like, even though they married, don't I know. They live
well,
with
I mean,
kids.
I know, but they, the, from the, somewhat, you know, regardless of obviously what deep down secrets are happening, they're in their kids' lives. Let's put it that way.
On social media, they are.
Well, I mean, unless they're
fake. And some in real life are.
And I was going to say, there's so many dads who are.
Most are.
Okay. Hey, don't get me started.
Okay. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. You can message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.